Ja, guten Abend, schön hier zu sein. Also mit meiner Frau und ich. Und erstmal seit 2020 sind wir hier. Das ist aber schön. We have to translate that. I can't translate. I can speak with my tongue and I can't translate that. Good evening. It's nice to be here. I am here with my wife. That's Maria back there. And the last time we were here was in 2020. We've been in Germany for over 30 years. Actually, it's 32 years. 33 years, and my wife, I'm glad that I have eye contact with my wife because she always corrects me. And so many times, 32 years? No, dear, it's been 33 years, so we're there. We are thankful for almost all of that time, well, all of that time that we've been in Germany. You've been supporting us and praying for us. And we've known the posts for a very long time. Wish we knew them in school, but they were just a little bit before our time. Came out to Kansas with a bunch of other BJ church planters, and this is one of our favorite places to come to, not just simply because it's in the Midwest. And even though I'm an Eastern transplant, I understand the mentality and the people, but also because it's so easy to get to. We've got 6-7 supporting churches right in the one area, so it's we enjoy coming down here. You still have the pastors' fellowships. Not quite as often. Yeah, you get them. That was always a fun thing to do, to get together. And I know we always liked coming here. Do you still have the pool table? No. Okay, well, but that's, the guys love to come here to play pool. Of course, before that, they would always go someplace else. But anyway, it's always nice to get to see you.
You get outvoted.
Okay, all right. So we appreciate that. That was a difficult call to make, but it was the right call to make. Anyway, we are here for a short furlough. Want to get you up to speed on what's been going on. There's been a lot going on within just those last few years. I'm going to ask you, go ahead and start the MP4. It doesn't have an audio. I'm the audio. The church itself had started in Murnau. It was in 1981, or 1980, excuse me. Started out of two Bible study groups and has had its ups and downs over the years. Some of the first people that got saved and also baptized, this is one lady that we've just had recently recontact with her. Been through a little bout of cancer and having some problems with her stomach, so we want to continue to pray for Marianne. And that's what we looked like some 33 years ago. A lot of change in those 33 years, beginning with Daily Vacation Bible School in our garage, moving to other venues, having church fellowships, seeing people saved and added to the church. This young lady is now in England, actually. But lovely to see her saved and then come to Christ and then also baptized. Had a few different locations as well. As you know, Sunday schools come, they grow, they change. The kids grow up. We have different people coming in. This was our old landlord there that was looking at us smiling. That was at the 40th? No, the 25th anniversary of the church. In Murnau, we'll get to that in just a minute, probably at the end of this MP4. And so that was our last place that we were meeting in Murnau. Some of our youth, we have had retreats as well, church-wide retreats. The brother that has spoke to us there is also now coming from Austria to the church. On a regular basis, he's an hour and 40 minutes. This were the Lupedos that were coming to take over the ministry in Schongau. His wife left him, and so he had to leave the field. But the Lord's working all these things out. We're very thankful for that. It's a kind of a sad situation. We had a nucleus going on there. Some of the men in the church, another church retreat, and then church changes, the numbers change, the people change, the faces get a little bit older. Some people that got saved, this is a young lady that got saved in the ministry, In Mornow, we used to have a book table ministry to get to people. A lot of fellowship with our young adults. A lot of fellowship as a church around baptisms or just getting together for other things. The people that do get saved and are in the church are also very evangelistically minded. We're very thankful for that. Again, Germans like fellowship, especially around food. Cake and coffee, we're very much a cake and coffee culture. Tip, the McDonald's in Germany, they don't sell coffee in paper cups. Okay, it's in porcelain. Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is you'll see all of these pictures. I'm not sure when or if I have some more pictures. Because as I said, I mentioned that, I think maybe not necessarily here, but this was the report MP4 for 2022. And since 2022, a lot of things have happened. This is not our church. This was funerals. Funerals are a wonderful opportunity for presenting the gospel. And our choir. This is Easter Sunday morning breakfast. I'm not sure if you do something like this. This is an older couple that's also in the church. He comes to men's meeting. They're both saved. It's a man, too, that has been sick this last year, who was out of church for almost 2.5 months. Some of our ladies' group. Hannah got saved and baptized during the COVID time that we were stuck in the States. We were on a 2-month furlough in 2020 that actually turned into almost 6 months because flying just kind of collapsed and we couldn't get back to Germany. And then she got baptized, not only saved, baptized, but also added to the church. Barbara as well, not saved under our ministry, but added to the church. And this is our young adults again doing some different things. This is with Hannah. She has a couple places that she was staying at the time. Now she has a small apartment that her family built. I do some work on the side as an electrician, too, for a Christian camp. Try to help them a lot. And also some conceptual things for lighting, for practical purposes. Nobody else wanted to do light planning, so that kind of fell to me to do. Again, all kinds of, I wish I could tell you about all kinds of different people. The Lord kicked us out of Murnau, and we're now in Peisenberg. It's the weirdest thing that has ever happened in my life, and it was the most clear thing that God has ever done in my life aside from my salvation, where the Lord just said, close the door, and we were kind of looking around for a different location. Nothing going on in Murnau, couldn't find a thing. That man, this is taking care of some of the walls that we had built in the location of Murnau. That man with a sledgehammer, if you remember a couple places back, he had to buy a property to build a building on for his business. And he said, hey, I got a place and you can have it for half the price of what you're paying in Murnau and double the space. So the Lord seemed to say yes. And we went. This man, Kevin Epp, was also a man last summer that he was kind of thinking of coming down and helping us in the ministry, but the Lord has called him elsewhere. Our people are also very into Peisenberg. I'm also very much Saskia, saved, baptized. We have a mentoring program as well, a long-term mentoring program. My wife is mentoring her. I'm mentoring a couple of other people and people in the church that are mentoring others that have been saved and grown. Rick, missionary, retired, and he's doing some preaching for us while I'm gone. And then Vili, who had been working and filling in Schongau, was doing some there. This is Tyler, an American married to a German. He's a cheesehead and is now in Garmisch and coming up also with his family. Jessica, his wife, is not saved. This is Peisenberg. And go ahead and, I think that's the last slide, but go ahead and keep it there for a moment. Tell you a little bit about Peisenberg. Peisenberg is totally different from Murnau. Murnau is your quintessential upper Bavarian village. Peisenberg is a mining town. Totally different people, totally different way that it was built, much younger town, much different type of people. And I'm very much minded of what God told Paul. And I feel it's the same way. I have many children in Peisenberg. And we've doubled our attendance. We doubled our size. We're almost filling that up, not on a regular basis, but we're hitting 60 for Christmas, you know, these kinds of things. And so we're very grateful for that and seeing the Lord work there. Our landlord in Murnau wanted to double our rent. That wasn't legally possible for him to do, but we just simply didn't feel right about being there. We were looking around for a different place. COVID had taught us that we need a certain physical footprint so that we can continue to minister during pandemics and things like this. And there was nothing. It was all too small. There was nothing going on. Either it was outrageously expensive or it just wasn't cut right for us. And the Lord opened up this door in Peisenberg. So we're very thankful for that. Do you have any questions? A lot scrunched into a short period of time. And really, it's mind-boggling for me to the last 2 years have been a total change in ministry, almost. We've got lots of young people. There's a young man who is saved. He's going to be baptized when we get back in September. Very interested in theology. Actually was getting ready to study theology. Got saved out of esoteric spiritualism. Found Christ through that, of all places, when he started reading the Bible. They talked about Christ as some kind of guru, some kind of spiritualist that had cosmic power. And so he kind of went back to the Bible and said, who is this Christ? And got saved by reading the Bible. And then he got in with a Hebrew roots type of, basically a Pharisaical Judaism, where you've got to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and if you don't do all this stuff, then you can't be saved. And he said, that's not the Christ that I read in the Bible. So he got out of that and started looking around, found us. Actually, some cousins of his were starting to come that were Marie was friends with one of our young ladies who is a volunteer firefighter. And Marie is a volunteer firefighter. They're not in the same group, but they're friends. And this Johannes is a cousin of theirs. And so he started coming as well. So we'll see. We'll see what the Lord has in store for him, how the Lord wants to use that in the church's life as well. So lots going on. You got any questions? Yes, sir.
About how far was the move?
The move was 40 minutes.
Okay.
Or 20 minutes. 20 minutes.
Seems like 40.
Seems like 40, yeah.
Better
than 40. Yeah. Anyway, 20. Now, I saw a hand here. Was that you? Or you?
I was wondering how far this new place is. I forgot what you said the name of it was from Murnau.
Yeah, that 20 minutes.
Oh, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah. The move, 20 minutes from Murnau to Peisenberg. Peisenberg is the name of this city. It's a little bigger than Murnau. So, yes.
Some of the people from Schongau
came. Yes, all the people from Schongau came. All the people from Murnau came, which is astounding when you realize that some of them are coming from Garmisch, which means they have a 40-minute drive at least. And then we have that one brother in Austria who's driving an hour and 40 minutes one way to come. And he comes almost every Sunday. So he says, hey, you're our church. So he comes. And I'm really grateful for Rick. He's a big help. Anything else? Any other questions? Yes.
Are there any other what you would consider good churches that would be closer for these people, or the same distance?
Well, it all depends upon how you define good churches. These days, everybody's getting wishy-washy in their definitions, okay? And you do have to be charitable in some way. Even if you stretch it out to say a gospel preaching church, it's getting to the point it's difficult to find those too, because a lot of time it's getting to man and telling men what they want to hear. People have itching ears. You're okay, we're okay, we're all okay, everybody's okay. If we just learn to get along, we can all be hunky-dory. So there is, in the county that we left the county, there's not a gospel witness in Garmisch-Partenkirchen, in the county there. There's a Baptist Union church there, which is liberal, has been liberal for the Baptist Union, has been liberal, the Baptist world since probably the 1960s. And then you've got something that's very similar to the EFRI in Germany, and they're still evangelical, but quickly going liberal as well. So, and there's only one, let's see, there's one EFRI church in the county and one Baptist Union church in the county. And in our county, Weinheim-Schongau, there's a one EFRI church, and then there's our church. So, and then there are Heinz, but that's kind of a hodgepodge of all kinds of different things. So it's hard to say. We can maybe discuss that a little bit later, afterwards, if you like. Germany is difficult to describe. I can tell it to you this way. Germany and Europe is being overlooked. If I could leave you with anything, it would be the same thing that God gave Paul in his dream of the European, saying, come over and help us. Germany has less than 2% in the population that's evangelical of any stretch of the imagination. And that 2% includes Jehovah's Witnesses and all your other cults. Okay? Less than 2% of the population. There are more atheists than there are Christians in Germany. Or I guess I should say, atheism is the largest section of religious peoples in Germany, followed by Catholic Lutheran, and then everything else. So I know, like, unreached people groups, do you know what the threshold is for unreached people groups? 2%. But there are a lot of other things too. You can't have for example, a history of having Christianity to qualify as an unreached people group. But one of those threshold qualifications is the 2%. And a lot of people don't understand that Germany has less than 2% of its population that are evangelicals. So we need lots of help. Germany has no education system, has no Christian education system. Christian education, Christian homeschooling is illegal. They do have what they call confessional schools. There is one single independent seminary in all of Germany. The other two are denominational schools. They're both liberal. And in Germany, you have what is called mandated academic freedom. It's mandated. It's not a choice. So if you want to be accredited as the only independent seminary in the 80s, when the two denominational schools wanted to get accredited, they were kind of saying, you can't do this, it's not right, you know, to do that, because what accreditation in Germany means for a Christian school is, as a seminary, you have to have liberal theologians on your faculty that teach liberal theology. You can't teach liberal theology as a conservative to say, here's what's wrong with it. That's not legal. You would have to have liberal theologians on your faculty, and that's why that one seminary kind of waited until 8 years ago. And then the same guy who was saying back in the 80s, you shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. He was the president of the seminary who went ahead and signed the papers for accreditation. So the problem that we're having in all of Europe, not just in Germany, but England, England has scores of churches, good churches, churches just like this, just like you have a problem sometimes finding a pastor, right? You've just gone through this. Was it easy? No. But you had a couple of organizations helping you. You had some people out there. That doesn't exist in Europe, at least not in Germany. I'm not sure how it is in the UK, but in the UK they have all kinds of congregations that have no pastors and they don't know where to get them. So Europe is post-Christian, right? And Christianity in name only. So, maybe one other question that doesn't have anything to do, because that's I could talk the rest of the evening on that. That's just... Yes.
How much English versus German do you use when you are preaching?
Oh, 100%. It's no English.
No English.
No English. No, none. Zero. Zip. Zitch. It's a little bit like, it would be like saying, going down to Newton, right? Okay, Mennonites, right? A form of German. It would be like going down there and only speaking German to all the Mennonites. That wouldn't go over too well because some of them don't speak German anymore. Only the older people speak German. In Germany, it's kind of the other way around. Some of the younger people can't speak English, but we have people in our church that can't speak English. So, I tell people when I come back to the States, I don't preach in English. So I'm a lousy English preacher. Right? You think, this guy's got, I've been 33 years on the field, right? I should be a polished speaker and just expound the Word of God and bring all these kind of illustrations from everywhere. I can't do that in English. I don't have any experience at all in doing English with that. All my experience is in the German language. And some guys say, well, just translate, I got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of German sermons. Well, just translate one in English. It doesn't work that way. You get it all nicely illustrated and nicely alliterated in one language, and you can't just take that one-to-one and put it in another language. There are some things you can say in German that you can't say in English, some things you can say in English that you can't say in German. So that shapes also your preaching style, what you're saying, what you're teaching. The text is not even the same. It's not. We don't use the English translation. We use a German translation. The Greek translation will be the same. Now look at that and kind of, okay, what's going on in the text and these kinds of things. But other than that, I'm Irish, so, and I've kissed the Blarney Stone. I didn't even really had a, where is it, Windsor? No, where's the Blarney Stone up there? 275, no, it's 275.
Wisner.
Oh, Wisner, Pilger. Pilger, Wisner, there's a Blarney Stone up there. But, it's just different. It really is. It's really kind of interesting when we talk to Germans, and what do? Yeah, but German's very difficult. It's very important for Germans. What do you do? You do what you have been taught to do, what you've been educated to do. You don't do anything else. And if you have to do something else, then you must be re-educated to do that. So you can't do anything unless you've been educated to do it. That's one of the impediments that we also find in ministry as far as church leadership is concerned. Well, I haven't been, I don't have a degree or I don't have an education in this. And then also another problem that we have is, well, how am I going to provide for my family? We have all these social nets in Germany. Germans are one of the most fearful people on the face of the planet. They have insurance for everything, every conceivable, imaginable contingency. There's a plan for it. And they do that simply because they're afraid to get caught flat-footed. And so when you tell them, what are you doing here? Well, I'm a pastor. You know, well, where are you getting? Well, I get it from the States, from other churches. I don't know what my income is going to be next week or next month. I don't know if I'm going to have enough or not have enough or whatever. But you know, we've been in Germany 33 years and we don't look like we're suffering, do we? Raised two kids, had a great life, have a great life in Christ. And He is faithful. And He's called us to do many things, and I was thinking, in Murnau, we're sort of in a dead end. Okay, is this the end of the ministry? And then the Lord opens up the opportunity in Peisenberg, and things start moving and popping and growing, and we're very thankful for that. We don't know what the Lord has for us in these next years, but we know that He's faithful. And one thing that I see, it's difficult. I don't know if I have a good perspective or not. I know it's perhaps easier for me looking from outside the bubble, inside the bubble. You're inside the bubble. I'm outside the bubble. Looking back these last few years, we've all seen change. Change can be a good thing. My wife always keeps telling me, change is good. Don't be afraid of change. I hate change. It's comfortable, isn't it? You get a certain way of doing things, you're doing it, you're comfortable with it, you know, and you just things flow, and then all of a sudden the Lord has to throw in a little bit of sand in there, get you to look to Him, and okay, difference. Okay, my wife keeps reminding me, difference, not bad. Moving from Murnau to Peisenberg is not bad. Moving from here to there is not bad. Change in a little bit of the emphasis of ministry is not bad if we're following the Lord. And I look back in the U.S. and I see there's been a lot of change, not necessarily for the good, where there's been a lot of flattening out of even interest in missions. It's changed a little bit. I know we're having a hard time recruiting missionaries. Europe, I can't speak for other areas of the world, but Europe is having a hard time. And I just want to challenge you with this, aside from what we'll be looking at for the remainder of our time. But I do want to challenge you in this respect. Pray about where the Lord wants you. Whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else, regardless of what age you may be, the Lord wants probably most of you here. We've seen a number of, not supporting churches that we have, but the number of, I would say personally myself, you can talk to me later about, okay, how do you define all of this? And I'm quirky, I will tell you, my wife will be the first one to tell you, yeah, he's a little quirky. Everybody has their own definition sometimes, which can be not good, but everybody has their own twist on things, their own spin on it, their own, okay, how do I look at this? What's important for me as far as I look at the Bible and look at what's going on out there in broad Christianity? And there's sort of a flattening out of Christianity, which can be good, but at the same time, it's almost sinking in the United States into the background. We've seen over the last years a few of our supporting churches kind of die off. The Lord has always been good to us. We're very thankful for all of the churches that we have. You guys have been around for forever, right? And we're so grateful for you. And we have a bunch of churches like this. But not all the missionaries are like that, and the pool of churches is getting smaller. GFA has therefore seen, really, the last, I would say, maybe 10 years, we got to start looking at the churches in the United States as well and start helping them find pastors if they need it, helping them kind of get up to speed as to what one can do to revitalize a church. What is important in revitalizing a church? What are things that we cannot change? We must not change. And then what are some superficial things that we can change that might help people out there more easily understand the gospel? Because that's what it's about. But the pool, and they, the reason that GFA went to doing that is because they realized that the pool of churches to draw from for missionaries is getting smaller. And that's putting stress on you. That's putting stress on the missionaries. And things change. And the Lord is in many of these changes. And he has from time to time, you know, his focus for many years, missions. When you thought about missions, you thought about Africa, right? I know when I was growing up, oh, Africa. You didn't think about Europe. Then all of a sudden, Southeast Asia. Wow, everything was going to the 60-40 window or whatever that's called out there in Southeast Asia. And the Lord seems to change our focus. But one thing that can't change, and here usually I'm preaching to the choir, but I do want to encourage you because I know the caliber of man and men that you have had and are having. And so as far as the gospel is concerned, that's always going to be central. And it's always going to be where it needs to be. But there are a lot of people out there that the more the world sees Christianity, real Christianity, real Bible Christianity, as the problem. And it won't get easier, it'll get worse. And the obstinacy of saying, no, I believe the Bible, an antiquated, outdated book that's written by men who don't even know what they were talking about, right? That's the way the world looks at that. And so whether it be child rearing, whether it be other things, education, whether it be how we view the family, all of these things are under pressure. And it's very easy for the church, generally speaking, to kind of step back from that pressure and say, whoa, just wait a minute. You know, we just want to be relative. We want to help. We want to, certainly we want to do all these things. But at the same time, we have to be very careful that in doing some of these things, we're not giving up the central thing. And that central thing is honoring God above everything. And then for me as a missionary, it is also giving the gospel to people who have not heard the gospel. I live in an area that's 90% Catholic. They know who Jesus Christ is. Now, unfortunately, they think that the Easter Bunny comes at Christmas, okay? And that the Christ child comes every year at Christmas. Easter. Oh, I get things mixed up sometimes. Okay. That the Easter Bunny comes at Easter. It's not about Christ and the resurrection. It's about getting candy. Okay? This is in Germany, where we have compulsory religion classes. And the kids don't know this. And then we have Christmas, where Christ is reborn every single year, and he's the one who brings the Christmas presents. Right, we have Nicholas Day. Nicholas Day is the 6th of December, and that's when you get chocolate in your boots. Right? He doesn't bring presents at Christmas. The Christ child brings presents at Christmas. But that's all the kids think about, as the Christ child is just somebody who brings me presents. Doesn't realize who Jesus Christ is. We have a form of religion, but it denies godly power. And that is unfortunately what most people think that Christianity is, especially in Europe. Christianity is a help to try to help a decaying society to have good ideas about one another. You know, love your neighbor, do good, pay your taxes, just get involved in community. That's Christianity. And it has nothing to do with the gospel. And so it's getting more difficult to think of missions as just going out and giving the gospel. And we can't run away from that. And we can't water it down. And we can't change it. And we can't make it anything else other than it is. Otherwise, we risk just being do-gooders. And I'll be quite frank, the world can do it much better than we can. They have a better infrastructure than we do. We're much better at giving, or we should be much better at giving the gospel than we are in doing good. Now please understand that we should be doing good. But that is only a byproduct of giving the gospel, right? Sorry about that. It's not what we're all about. Paul says, as you can, do good. First of all, in the house of faith. Right? So it's not, the command is not so much a command as much as we think to do good. We should be doing good because we are saved. But that is not our calling. Our calling is to honor God. And as we honor God, one of those things that we do to honor Him is to give the gospel, what the good news means to other people. Now, I'm assuming a lot of things, okay? I'm assuming you know what the good news is. You know what the gospel is. I'm not going to sit here and give you all these definitions. I could do that. But I know you well enough, and I know some of you well enough. We've seen each other many times over the years. And like I said, I'm preaching to the gospel. I'm preaching to the choir, excuse me. But I just want to encourage you, and I can't encourage you enough. Don't feel that you need to change your focus away from the gospel to get an opportunity to give somebody the gospel. Don't fall for that. It doesn't work. And you end up starting down a slippery slope where at the end, all you're going to be left with is being a do-gooder. Okay? And that's nice in this world. We can make the world really nice. You know, we can all be happy and laugh together and all go to hell together. But there's much more to life than being happy. Okay? There's much more to life. We know this because some of us have been through some pretty hard spots in life. And as a church, you're going through a pretty hard spot right now. Don't get your eyes off who you are and who you should be in Jesus Christ. I'm just talking to you a little bit out of my heart tonight. Keep your nose to the grindstone. That's an awful thing to have to say. You know, I know, as a kid growing up, keep your nose to the grindstone, you know, just be, you know, just keep at it. We like to live, we like to have fun, and you can do that. But some people live to have fun, right? That's not who we should be. And sometimes, I will be honest with you, and I will tell you, living the Christian life is difficult. God wants us to make hard choices. And many times we make the wrong choice. And unfortunately, if we start making the wrong choices often enough, that will color us. That colors our judgment. That changes our character. And people wonder how an individual can change. We change incrementally, not by leaps and bounds. You know the old frog in the pot? Just throw him in a hot pot, he jumps out, but you just do it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. That's that incremental thing. And as a pastor too, I try to get people to understand, okay, you made a mistake. Okay. You ask God for forgiveness. You sin. You ask Him for forgiveness. You help Him to try to help you. You ask Him to help you to not make the same mistake again. But you know what we do? We make the same mistake again. I know I do. But we pray and we work and God helps us to make that mistake a little less often. You know what we call that? Progress. Right? Making the same mistake a little less often. And that's progress in the right direction. But what happens when we were to if we were to make the same mistake more often? That's progress too. But it's in the wrong direction, right? And many times, we are the result of our decisions. Whatever decisions we make, they color us. You know, we like to think, "Hey, I've got this character. I've worked on this character, and these characters will help me to make good decisions." And it should be that way. But many times it's not. We've got the right character, but we fall, we fail, we sin. Do we pick ourselves up, and do we continue to go with God and what we know His Word tells us to do? That's good. But you know what it is? It's a struggle. It's not easy. I'd hate to be a kid these days growing up. I mean, okay, Nebraska, Kansas. I grew up in New Hampshire where you hear these stories about people running around until dark at night on a bicycle, and there's the neighborhood gang. In some areas of the country, I wouldn't want to be in the neighborhood gang. That would take me in a totally different direction of the neighborhood gang I grew up with, where we had a lot of fun and did a lot of races and made a lot of stuff and got a lot of scrapes and learned a lot of stuff about life in the right way. And it's difficult for us in this day and age sometimes to know how do you raise kids? I wouldn't want to raise kids today. I had hard enough time raising two kids in Germany in the 90s, 2000s, 2010s, 2010s. That was about it. Lord gave them to us for that time. And we pray for our families. We pray for wisdom. We pray for so much, but just continue with those things that you know. You can add to them, but don't forget those fundamental things. It's an age-old adage, even in sports. When you get into trouble, what do you always go back to? The fundamentals of whatever sport you're trying to do. You know, how many steps do you take? Which foot do you use? You do it 1,000 times so that you have body memory, and then all of a sudden things will look a little different. When we get in trouble, we got to stop and analyze what's going on and ask the Lord for wisdom. And I know I do have a sermon here. I could go ahead and preach it for you tonight. I mean, this is new tech too. It's all in here. I got all kinds of stuff in here. But I just wanted to talk to you tonight about just missions. Missions is an important thing here and everywhere else. Just keep doing that which the Lord wants you to do. And you know what? It doesn't change. It's the same message. And people have the same problems. They just dress differently. They speak a little bit differently. They might look a little bit differently, even with our own culture. But their problem is that sin problem. And there is only one answer. And you need to give them the answer at some point. Because if we don't, without that information, yeah, they get Bibles. They could go to, it used to be you could buy a Bible at Walmart. They could go someplace and buy a Bible. They could read it. They could come to Christ themselves. But there's a mandate in the Bible. Matthew, end of Matthew, end of Luke, end of John, or almost the end of John, but also the end of Mark, Matthew, Luke, John. Matthew we think of mostly. They all have the Great Commission in there. You all know what it is. I'm just here to tell you it works. And we just need to keep at it. And I've appreciated so many years the opportunity to work together with you, have you pray for us, and we pray for you. Boy, sometimes we don't know how you've prayed for us. Sometimes you have no idea how we've been praying for you. And it's kind of nice that way that we know. Please do know. Also, I try to think of this to tell you every single church that we come back to that the church in Peisenberg appreciates very much your giving so that we can be there. And they want me to verbalize that. So I just want to tell you that. They know who you are, or at least they know where you are. And they know what you're doing. And they know why you're doing it. And please be assured of the fact that they're doing the same thing. You know where they are. You know what they're doing. And you know why they're doing it. And that happens the entire world over. Just they speak a different language. Wear a little bit different clothing. Think things through maybe a little bit differently. Our son and daughter learned to do math totally different. It was like, huh? How do you do that? Totally different. But the need is the same. So please, please, stay the course. Do what you need to do. Love each other. Care for each other. Help each other. You're a church, right? And you're together. Everybody's here. I appreciate you being here. You are investing your time. But it's not just for you. Look around. These are the people you can help. These are the people that you can minister to, as well as people out there. Some people come into a church. They come in, they go, they come in, they go, they come in, they go. And that's okay. But keep an eye out for that kind of a person and just go to them. Talk to them. See what makes them tick, what they think. Befriend them. Help them. It'll be a wonderful ministry if you can do that. I hope you would. Sometimes we kind of get in our little cliques and we just come in and we have a place to sit. And when somebody else sits in my spot, then I'm kind of, oh, that's my spot. Somebody's there. I got to sit somewhere else. And it's like, oh, where can I sit? Well, I can't sit there because they sit there. I can't sit there because they sit there. Come on. It's not bad if somebody sits in your spot. It might even be good. Who knows? The Lord can use that as well. Get you to sit by somebody else you never sat by before. Find out you might have something in common. Well, you have the Lord Jesus Christ in common, but maybe something else besides that. Anyway, I appreciate your help over the years, appreciate your prayers for us, and I'm just going to leave it at that for this evening. All right, thanks, brother.